This is lecture number two of A Day with John McMaster, Sunset Room, Ambassador Hotel, Los Angeles, September 20th, 1970, entitled Circuitizing, with introductory remarks by Jack Horner. Copies are available from the Association of International Dianologists, 1700 Westwood Boulevard, Westwood Village, California, 90024, area code 213-474-1565.
This is the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles, and Jack Horner speaking, and it's my very great pleasure to introduce a particularly unique individual who probably expresses understanding and affinity and love more completely than most people find themselves able to easily do on this planet. He seems to have a particular faculty for making people aware of those things that they know but have forgotten, that they have not known, but really need to be reminded to see, and to make each of us more aware of ourselves and our ability to relate freely and with love to each other. He has lived a fascinating life and has become more free and clearer as I've known him. His ability to communicate is unexcelled. But I particularly personally want to acknowledge him for the courage, in spite of threats, telephone threats, dressed to blow up his airplane if he came, a few other little friendly things like this, in spite of the fact, this can be edited out of the tape, in spite of the fact that somebody told the customs of the United States that he was smuggling not just diamonds, but LSD as well. Maybe they put the LSD in the diamonds, I don't know. Someone informed Customs Department of that, and they had eight guys searching him for 4 hours, and they finally wanted to know finally, well, who could have made a report like that? So I guess he told them who might have. So this is why, to have the courage of your convictions, to stand by what you know, to stand by what you believe in. He was talking about a state below treason, which is a betrayal of your own knowingness. Be able to say you know what you know and you want to freely share it with others and that others share their knowingness with you is one of the most admirable qualities in a human being that I know of. And so this is particularly why it's my great personal pleasure to introduce John McMaster.
Thank you very much, Jack, and thank all of you. If there'd only been two of you, or just one of you, it would still have been worthwhile coming. So thank you, you know, very much. We all have. I once introduced Mario Finnegan in the New York City Hall when he made his debut there as a concert pianist. And suddenly, whilst I was there and thinking about music and so on, I said, every man has at least one song to sing. And if, somehow or another, you can help him to be safe enough, he will sing it. And the safer that you help him to be, the more beautiful he will sing it, or the more beautifully he will sing it. So, I want to indicate some of the things, if I may, that might jeopardize a person's safety and his own knowing of his own safety, so that he begins to move amongst his fellow man with a shuddering electronic type of suspicion that isn't quite conscious, but is down there because of something. Now, I call this thing that I looked at circuitizing. I don't know if there is such a word, but it just seems somehow to sum it up perfectly, because no matter in whose name I traveled around the world and communicated with man, I traveled around the world and communicated with man. Therefore, so far as I'm concerned, I must take some responsibility for the extent to which I might have led people into being circuitized to a certain extent. You see, I suddenly saw myself, life after life after life, a dear little shepherd type, running out into the sunlight and telling people how beautiful everything is. Say, come along and find out for yourself. And suddenly I found them all in the abattoirs. And I looked at me, and I had to be pretty honest about me. And I was sitting in New York one day, last year, November. I had just had a very, very hectic scheduling, which the people who were scheduling me didn't seem to quite appreciate, that even though I might be all right, my body maybe needed just ordinary, sort of like physical rest from time to time. I wasn't blaming anybody for it. It's like it was, in a way, an honor that they considered I could manage without all of these things. So it wasn't a matter of blaming anyone, but I still had to sit there and look and see, what is it that has gone wrong? Because something is wrong. It's not my connection with people, so far as I can see, but it's something else. I've caused resentment somewhere. I've caused resentment in the Sea Organization. I've caused resentment maybe in the Scientology organizations of some sort amongst various executives. I didn't want to do that, and I never set out to do it. But I know there was a particular time when I had experienced what I had experienced, and I knew what I knew. And I knew that man, so long as I owned me, and so long as I was honest about owning me, man was always with me, always, and would always be. And nothing, no organization, no ethics, nothing could ever take that away from me. Ever, ever, ever. It was mine, it was ours. And every experience I have had, every beautiful experience, is as much mankind as mine. Because in this thing, infinite freedom, not total freedom, just throw total freedom out, you know, so far as I'm concerned, throw it out. Just call it freedom. If you have to qualify it, call it infinite freedom. And infinite freedom is that which is all of ours. And not one of us is going to go wandering along and say, I have got it, you see, the rest of you haven't got it. Because it's all of ours, and as that happens, that will be infinite freedom. You see, total freedom is what I said earlier, and I'd just like to say it again so that I make myself very, very clear. I do not want total freedom. And I hope that it gets across to all of you not to reach for such a thing. Because if you do, you will still be circuitrizable. Because the person who offers you total freedom will say you have got your total now. 2 plus 2 plus 2 plus 2 plus 2, and that adds up to 8 or 10 or 12 or 20. Say, what are you moaning about? I offered you a total, you've got it. Now you do what I tell you. And this is something that became realer and realer and realer to me. That I, you know, it was like I didn't know why I objected to total freedom. But I had a look at it. If I'm going to talk, no matter in whose name, I am doing the talking. And if I have made a mistake, which I have done, then I must come around and rectify that mistake. Just in case I left a wrong impression somewhere. And in case I led someone into something, which I never ever wanted to do because I never wanted to be a leader anyway. I am one of the human race, and I'm very happy to be it. And everything that you have given me, and you gave it to me, it was not the technology that's so tremendously important. The technology is fine, and it's a great help. But the great thing was, for me, that sudden knowing that I was with people and people were with me, and every barrier that had been sitting there was in that split second lifted, and it would never be back again so long as I could maintain and keep help others to maintain a level of integrity and a reciprocity of love and an awareness of love. Then never again could those, the, you know, the other things be more important unless I slipped and the others slipped. So I looked at this, you see, sitting in New York, and I thought, well, it has slipped. So I am in this condition of betrayal after knowing, not betrayal after trust. Because I know that I am in love with people and people are in love with me, not John McMaster. That's not me. That's just the vehicle I currently use. And I knew this because I've told many of you, and I'll say it again, because it was the realest thing, and I think the one thing, because Ron has put out dozens and dozens of first tears, and I knew that, and I loved them all for going out and being it. I don't care if they fell on their two front teeth the next morning. I love them for doing it, because it was because of them, plus all of you, plus the whole of the human race, that what I achieved, you see, all, and so far as I'm concerned, we achieved, was because of you, and because of their attempts, and because of Ron's attempts, that it, this thing just suddenly happened. Now, very briefly, I will say it again, so that it gets in context. It was very simple. We were all working towards something. I was in a particular position at St. Hill, establishing qualifications divisions. Those divisions which were built or designed to perpetuate the survival of the organization by constant present-time correction. Always keeping the organization in present-time, correcting it, correcting it, correcting it. Not stopping it, correcting it, you see. So this was my job, to establish these things. And then to go around the world afterwards and establish those, you know, establish them in every organization, which I did. But anyway, at this particular time, I hadn't started on that yet. And I was sitting there, and we were as busy as could be. Now, I noticed that every time, you see, Ron had me working at this level, and we were great friends, and so far as I'm concerned, still are great friends. And no system is going to sit between the love I know that we have for each other. And I'm not going to buy it, because I will be trapping him if I allow him to do that to me. And I don't wish to trap anyone. So, we evolved and we evolved and we evolved. And suddenly one day, I realized I had reached something. Now, all the way along the line, I had been reaching various stages of newfound freedom. And every time I did, I was commed from arsehole to breakfast. I was shot at every which way. Now, forgive the way I'm expressing it, but that's exactly how it was. And I thought, this is crazy. Every time I achieve what we set out to achieve, a new level of freedom, all I get is hostility. Now, there's something I'm not seeing. So, all right, I'd have these comebs, Mary Sue sitting there as the chairwoman, comebbing me. They'd find me guilty of all sorts of crimes, and all my certificates and odds and ends would be taken away, and I'd have to start all over again. And I looked at it one day, and by this time, I had been there so long, and it had happened so often. And I just thought, well, if I walk out of those gates of St. Hill Manor now, every student will follow me. And I don't want that. I just read this ghastly yellow paper with all the crimes I was supposed to have committed. Meanwhile, everyone I had audited was better for it. And, you know, I'm not telling you this is a pathetic story. It's just how I discovered things. And suddenly I realized why the shooting went on. It's like when you make a breakthrough and you haven't communicated it to all, then suddenly you've created a randomity level that people aren't sure of. You've disturbed or you've rocked the boat, as the expression is. You've just suddenly taken away stable data. It isn't that way anymore. And there you are sitting there, and all these guys are firing at you because of, you've got a withhold from them, your new state of freedom, and you haven't communicated it and let it go. So I saw this, and suddenly I saw why it was necessary for them to fire at me, to find out that it was in actual fact safe to be there. And if you could just, I said to myself, I can just hold this position and they can see it's safe, that I can't be hurt here. I'm less vulnerable than I was before. Then they will come up to it too. And strangely enough, I held it. And up they all came. And then we made another breakthrough and the same thing happened. But each time, it happened less and less and less. But I had made that decision that day, the last time, it wasn't the last time, but about, say, the third from the last time, that I was commed and all my certs and awards and everything else were removed, and I was supposed to be Ron's direct representative for technology, putting in these qual divisions, you see. And I walked and I thought, if I go out that gate, all the students will come, because by that time, I loved the students. There was never too much. Every time they reached, I couldn't do enough for them so that they would achieve their purposes as students on that course. And they knew that I only wanted them to be a safe terminal. I never wrote ethics chits on them. I only cared that they got on with what they had to do. Just move, move, move. And the faster and the safer I could make it, the better. But if I was going to be a type of terminal that they came and spoke to and I wrote it down and sent it to the ethics officer, then no one was going to be safe and they wouldn't have a reliable terminal they could come and talk to. And I'm not saying this to be clever. It's like, this is what, how I observed it, right or wrong, and you will be the judges in your own time. So in that particular day, I looked at this ethics order, and suddenly I stood there, and I thought, well, I had a look back over my, at the back of my head at Ron. He was still asleep in bed that day. And I looked down at him, and I thought, now more than ever, you need a friend. I will be that. So instead of walking out the gates, I walked straight into my division. All my staff were sitting there black and gloomy because they'd all read it. All the students had read it, and it was circulated around the world. And so I thought, fine, I'll neutralize the impact everywhere else. And I sat there and I neutralized it. I said to myself, what are you worried about? Get on, come on. We don't stop. I had decided to be a friend. And the staff just got busy like this as though nothing had happened. And we erased the whole thing. And Herbert was like a miracle. 2 days later, Ron put out a worldwide amnesty. No, everything was gone. He made me this and that and full-time qualsec and so on and so on. Now, I tell you this because the final breakthrough, I still find out new things every day of my life, you know, more and more and more, but the final breakthrough at the time of when we were working for CLEAR, in that moment when I knew I was CLEAR, this is what happened. This is why there was no firing. Because I was sitting in the qual division with my staff, and I was very much expanded just about all the time then. And way out on my perimeters, I felt this little knock, knock, and I realized there was something I wanted to look at. So when it came to the end of the day, instead of sitting there and having coffee with my staff, which I usually did, I just charged out and into the gents' toilet and locked the door. It was, you know, that's actually what I did. I might as well tell you the truth. And, you know, I sort of thought, what is it? And in this thing came, and I looked at it, and it was just simply me saying to myself all over again, who am I? What am I? And then the walls all disappeared around. There was no solidity left. It's like I was looking with X-ray, but in actual fact, it was, I didn't need my eyes anymore. I was looking. And there I saw what appeared to be trillions and trillions of pairs of eyes all around me, looking. And I didn't see them properly to start off with, and I thought, oh God, all I am is just a projected opinion of trillions of years. That's all. And then I got this violent, oh, like a lightning blast across my head, and I realized that I had not only invalidated me, but them as well. So I looked again, and I suddenly saw as the eyes melted, and all I could see was love, just pouring out, and pouring out, and pouring out. Until there weren't any eyes, it was just like I was looking at the beings, and was going further and further and further, right across the whole of the universe. And all these beings were there, and they were flowing it in, and so I listened, and felt, and got the communication, which was simply, do it, show us, you see, so, ah, and then, can I, me, again, invalidating, can I? And suddenly, as they had revealed themselves to me, and me to me, all in the same instant, there came this other thing, like a metallic shriek, in which suddenly they had fears about me, and I had fears about my inability. And this shriek came through, you know, like a sudden, fantastic anxiety. Had they made a mistake? Had they revealed themselves to the wrong one? And had the whole thing been a mistake? And it came through like this. No matter what we do to you, no matter how we might curse you, stone you, destroy you or attempt to, please, now that you have seen us as we are, never, ever acknowledge us as anything less than this. Never. Well, you have seen us as we really are, no matter what we do. And see, this was what happened. So when I came out, when Ron decided to use me, that it was CLEAR a long time before it was put out, simply because, you know, like it was on Ron's line, if it is what he wanted, it is fine. If he didn't need it, it was also fine. So, the long and the short of it is that in that moment, that happened. And we knew. And the messages, you know, were sort of a total reciprocity of love, not only between me and everyone, but between everyone and everyone and everyone, because everyone looked at everyone. This is why I say, that experience is not mine. And that is why I found myself trekking on jets, round and round this globe, communicating it, because it is every man's. And as the barriers lift, somewhere, all men will recall that particular experience, because it is every man's. And so it was an easy thing for me to come and tell you. It wasn't a great strain. And this is one reason, I think, why I didn't fall on my two front teeth, because you knew it was yours. And all I wanted to do was not be a great leader, but just come and tell you and give you, through the body, what you had given me in that particular instant. Now, this was an experience that I don't know whether I've ever really communicated it so that it went across and was really duplicated. Because if it had been duplicated, then all this ethics nonsense and trying to shoot at me subsequently, see, which never happened from mankind. I have never been shot at once by mankind. I have only been shot at by people who suddenly come into a Scientology organization, start getting a thing like ethics, instead of realizing it's a tool that you present most elegantly to mankind to use with which to help himself. They use it as weapons. And suddenly, well, who the hell does John McMaster think he is? He thinks he's source of Scientology. Shoot him, you see. But they haven't realized yet that I am not John McMaster. They haven't realized this, what I'm telling you, that this business of being clear is every man's. And in that moment, so much was gone forever and would never be back there again. And maybe, you see, it is not necessary for every man to cover over all that track again. Maybe every man had already reached it, but just needed a cursory glance at which way he had got it. Does this make sense?
Yes.
And it's not a matter of saying, you know, that don't do it. I'm saying look at it, but have a look at the possibility that every time you acknowledge in totality what has happened. This is why I told you this morning about when you release yourself from something, you have released everyone who's ever been connected to you. You have released them from you with that. And so all those states of release get made. Now, if you look at this on an actual level in relation to, say, a planet being clear or whatever, and this ripple of clarity going through, you will see that in actual fact something has been removed for everyone. And it's gone, gone, gone. And if you just go around and communicate, and people say, yes, of course. And then if you could rehab that moment when they all were aware of that, maybe that would be all you'd need to do. Except that you would require a technology to stabilize on. Because it was achieved, say, for me, in order to be stabilized by working through something. But the first glimpse of it was there. It's not a matter of being a great martyr or sacrificing something. It was the great joy of it. Now, to the extent then that this does not go acknowledged, and I make the mistake of not going and communicating that particular experience to man, so that he suddenly says, you know, and it echoes true, because wherever I have told the story, no one has said, you big stuff head or whatever, you know, no one has said it, because it is true. It isn't just a fact, it's true, it happened. And then I realized that in truth there is no status, none at all. You do not need leaders. There was no status in being the first clear, none whatsoever. And it was so funny when people thought, for instance, that if they could remove John McMaster, which isn't me, incidentally, I'll say again, if they could remove that, then someone else would have to automatically be appointed the first clear. Well, this was, like the sort of... the Guardian's office came from WW worldwide, came out to South Africa because there's an inquiry on Scientology. And they really think that I am going to go to that inquiry and try to destroy Scientology. Now, what I have asked for is reforms, because I value Scientology and Dianetics tremendously. I would never go to... What's the point of destroying an ology? An ology is nothing. It's what people do with it, you see. So if I went to that inquiry, I would say, for heaven's sake, if you want to do anything at all, just keep a supervision on what people do with that ology, because it's a very valuable ology. You see. Anyway, they arrived in South Africa and they wanted to have an interview with me. So David Gaiman, who's second in charge to Jane Kemba, wanted to see me. So I said, fine. So he created, that bolshy John McMaster. I and only I was able to get into communication with him. I've never indicated any willingness to people to be in communication at all. But to build up this whole thing of having to have this great to-do about getting into communication with John McMaster. How it was reported back to Ron, I don't really mind, and at this stage I don't care. But I know it was reported back that it was the mountainous task to communicate with me. Anyway, so I said, certainly, and I went down the next morning and I saw him. So he says to me, when are you prepared to give up the hat of the first care? So I said, never. Never. Unless you want to start a whole new system of peering, in which case you'd have to create another first pair. He said, that is something I can't give up, because it will be a dishonoring man. But it didn't make much sense to him. And it indicated to me one thing, that they had never really heard me, that some of them were so much on a status tear, so much on a status tear of fighting the enemy, being the big warriors, you know, even turning me into one of the mighty enemies, that I'd been in league with all the underground of the American people whilst I was here. I don't know what time I had to be in league with all the underground that were out to destroy Scientology. But this is the type of thing that was, what that was going around at that time. Now, if you can put that out about someone like me, say, actually let that be known to people, you are going to put so much doubt in people's minds that they are going to become more and more vulnerable to being circuitized. Now, I want to explain what this is. If I want to take over the planet, capture it, say, for my own ends, and I happen to get a certain level of awareness where I know about electricity, and I know that the body is structured of atoms, and that an atom is basically a tiny little electrical field, and I know, therefore, that the body has an electrical field and is subject to the laws of electricity just like anything else is. And I happen to know about telepathic communication, and I happen to know about how you can plug in. You see, all I've got to do is to stand up and talk and get a group of people around me and plug into that group. It can be 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 people. I connect into them with my electric lines, you see. Right. I send them out to the world. They don't know what they're doing, but I'm sending them out to connect to as many as they can connect to. So the circuit goes further. Then they are going to send those out to connect with more, and the circuit goes further. And I know what I'm doing, sitting this end. You see, and all I've got to do is to generate something down that circuit, and it spreads as far as my people have connected. And even if I write a policy letter, you see, not only think a thought, but write a policy letter and pass some more solid communication out to all those people that I have connected to, then I'm reinforcing that circuit. So those people are not free. They can only go as free as my circuit that I'm controlling will allow them. I want you to see this, because it is the goddamn most awful trap I have ever seen, and the most tyrannical spiritual tyranny that I have ever come across, as I sat in New York and for the first time looked into an area I had been not ising. But I had been not ising, and I saw how I had betrayed, how I had actually gone around and connected people onto a circuit that could not let them get freer than that circuit would permit. And I couldn't pretend to myself anymore. And I realized that I was guilty of spiritual tyranny for just doing that, for not being aware of what I knew to be but was not easy. So I tell you this, and please spread it as far across the universe as you like, so that people will neutralize, will be aware of the possibility of electronic telepathic circuitizing, because it does take place. It's cleverer than anything that's happened so far. Does it make sense to you what I have said?
Yes.
And I want you to know that. And that's why I say, throw out total freedom. Throw it out. Because that is what I will tell you is your total when the time comes, if I am circuitizing you. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So, thank you. I say that, you know, with the greatest integrity and sincerity that I have ever had, because I was so happy about what I had discovered in relation to me and people. I was so happy about seeing people feeling happier and happier and happier. And yet, somewhere along the line, they all stopped. Boom! And they didn't quite make that. And they all tended to be the same sort of pattern. And last year when I was here and I was watching people coming through the OT levels at the AO, watching it, and I saw they were all the same, all the same, all the same. And that's when I realized that something had to be looked at, to be neutralized, to be duplicated and neutralized, so that you could emerge. Why should you have, because people came to me afterwards. I want to tell you this. Because they felt I was a safe terminal, I wouldn't go running to the Master at Arms or the Ethics Officer or any of these things. People came to me and said, look, I felt I had to attest at OT3. I felt I had to attest OT4, OT5, OT6, whatever. But something's wrong. Something's wrong. And I said, what do you think is wrong? I said, I don't know, something's wrong. But I can't tell anyone because they'll put me in a condition. Now, do you see that, you see, the tyranny of that circuitrizing stuff? I can't tell anyone. So there they are in fear. They're circuitrized straight away. So I said this. What was your purpose for ever wanting to use Scientology? What was your purpose? And they said, oh, I'd forgotten all about that. So a person had come in with a purpose. No one comes anywhere without a purpose, at least one purpose. The purpose was totally ignored, said you are just one of the ordinary people, you get on that assembly line and you go right through that assembly line and you'll end up OT6. Meanwhile, the guy's purpose is being negated. Now these are the sorts of reforms I wanted, because there's nothing wrong with that technology. See, nothing at all. But I wanted the individual who came there with an individual purpose to have his purpose acknowledged and handled before he was put onto any assembly line. Does this make sense? Because all the way along the line, the guy is trying to get there, and he's willing, and he's trusting, and he's excited, and he is making gains. But somehow this thing is being bypassed, his own purpose. How dare I say to a guy, your only purpose can be going on that assembly line up to 86, because I tell you that's your purpose. It isn't his purpose at all. Maybe he's... Some people have come to me afterwards, they said I was impotent. I've spent tens of thousands of dollars going to the next level, the next level, the next level, the next level to get free from my impotence. And it's worse than ever. It's all right, people have come to me in South Africa with just this. And I have said to them, fine. And then I found out what I could do to help them. Fast, fast, fast. So I worked out a process. It's straight. It's just a combination of straight technology. There's nothing unstandard or oddball about it at all. It just simply goes like this. Has some purpose been? And then I've got a whole list of the things that could happen to a purpose. Not is, unable to be fulfilled, protested, achieved, withdrawn, changed, shelved, hidden, undiscovered, undisclosed. You know, all those types of things. I've got a whole list and I assess the list. And I get that one, and I say to the guy, is this acceptable to you, that some purpose has been unable to be fulfilled? Say, he says, yes. So immediately I go to the next step, which is, what purpose has been unable to be fulfilled? And then we list again. And the guy says, boom, these purposes, say, to be able to fly. So the purpose that has been unable to be fulfilled is to be able to fly. He says, yes. And then immediately I go straight into Dianetic Auditing. Locate an incident that could have caused to be able to fly, to be unable to be fulfilled. And it just goes like a dream. And they go back down the trillions of years until they hit that basic and start looking from there this way. And one marvelous thing happened. A guy who was having, you know, just send them. And they go, because now they're on purpose. So, what I want to indicate here is that if everyone was handled that way, when they came in, then you could put them on an assembly line. You see? And they would go all the way through. sorry about this. Anyway, but it was just simply through auditing people and continuing to audit people and observing that one began to find out what was missing and what one could do about helping to rectify it. Sorry, do you want to find out what's going on?
It's all right, they're just getting some remnants. Sorry.
We're more worried about the recording than we were the noise, all the noise and anything else.
Anyway, sorry, I stopped for a minute.
Sorry.
So I wanted to tell you that because to me, it's like anyone can have it and use it if they want to. It's there's nothing oddball about it. It is just straight, and it just handles. Because what is wrong with most, you know, what goes wrong in most of our lives is we had a purpose and somehow something happened to it. See, just somehow something happened to it. Well, you just dig those things out, and you can run this process many times. Because as you lift the most superficial purpose, say you get another one and another one until you get down to, say, a more basic or the most basic purpose. And the guy suddenly is free. He said, oh, and he gets the incident that could have caused his purpose to have been so-and-so. And it's way, way back somewhere. And then what happened, the point I wanted to tell you, I'm currently the managing director of a real estate business in Durban. And when they asked me to become this managing director, I said to them, well, I know nothing about real estate. But in my books, to command is to serve, and gives with it only the right to serve. It happens to be a direct quote from L. Ron Hubbard. And I said, so if you will allow me to serve you, the only way I can serve you, which is to audit you when you have problems or when you don't have problems, then I will become your managing director. But you will have to be the geniuses in real estate whilst I learn about it. In the meantime, I will help you with your problems through auditing you. So they all come to me for auditing, you see. So to start off with, as they were sailing down the trillions, the guys used to think, well, it's not very real in time. And they used to say, well, it doesn't matter, just tell me. Whatever comes up, just tell me. Don't select, just tell me. So they did. And one of these days, one of the guys had made the most tremendous wins on this purpose process I'm telling you about. And he said to me the next day, he said, why was it when I was looking into the beginning of the structure of an atom, and watching it evolve and break into so on. Why was it I saw, it was all Dublin, wasn't it? All those soldiers around the castle wall. See? He said, it was all Dublin. So I said, no. I want you to see where you were and where you were looking from. Now, when you are basic on something, an incident, whatever it might be, obviously from there to present time, there are millions of locks, secondaries on that particular thing. And some of them are very severe, you know. And as you flash through the basic incident, a severe lock will just flash up. Maybe it's a million years later. But it'll just flash like that. So never doubt or invalidate yourselves. I wish that the words Dublin had never been written, because if that's the picture you get, that's the picture you get. You see, and you've got all these other things there, and people get so invalidated that they can't be sure. And all I'm trying to get these guys, and see, what I want to do is to improve my auditing to such a level that whatever a guy comes up with, he will never, ever have to invalidate. You know, that he will know instantly that that's what came up, that's what's there. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And, you know, if we could get, in the whole of auditing, I just want to be that safe that this would happen. So I'm getting more and more and more practice at it. And I hope that the rest of you, you know, get excited about auditing. Because you see, you know, the thing is, when this guy came up the next day with, that was Dublin, wasn't it? Because he'd read all about Dublin and so on. I said to him, oh, please don't say that. You know, please don't. And then I went through, said, look where you were looking from, you see. And this, boom, said, what's there is there. And what it's connected to will flash. Some of it you might not see because it'll be flashing so fast. But some of it you will see. He said, ah. Well, now, these are just little things, and I don't ask you to believe at all. You know, it's like, I don't, as I said earlier, belief and trust are actually motivators. You either know or you don't know, and if you don't know, find out. And then you will know. The But when people say, trust me, another thing I said to the staff either, don't come around telling me you trusted me. Don't come around telling me you believe me. If you want me, take the trouble to know me. If you don't want me, then it's fine. But don't tell me that you trusted me. Because that is no compliment at all. The greatest thing one person can do for another is to know him or know her. Just be there and know the person and let the person know you know. And that nothing matters. Nothing that's ever happened matters. You just know each other. And then suddenly the freedom that goes between you and this infinite sort of reciprocity of love, and you're not stuck on this, you're not stuck on that. You see, so I nearly bought the fact that I, having used Scientology and loved the use of it, I nearly bought the fact that I had, therefore, lost the right to communicate with any other sort of group that was working towards that end. I nearly bought that fact. And then I looked at it and I thought, but heavens, if I was asked to find out who my friends really are, I wouldn't say any sort of ist. I would say the human race. I have found that out long ago. My friends are the human race, plus all the beings who haven't as yet got bodies. And these really are my friends. And if I said that in a particular area, I would be told probably that I was nuts and I better go out and have another look. But this is what has happened. I thought, well, for heaven's sake, it doesn't matter what sort of group people are working in. I have established for myself who my friends really are. Therefore, I may communicate with any of them if they wish to communicate with me. I don't have to go around and superimpose my communication, but I can communicate with any of them because we accepted that and it was established long ago. So, all of you, I ask to have a look at that when you're asked to find out who your friends really are, if ever you are asked. Just have a look. You know, we're all in similar sorts of bodies. We're all actually living very similar sorts of lives. So, is there any reason why we can't be really friends? Is there?
No.
Right, so if we're going to play around talking about enemies and constantly going on about this enemy tear, then, you know, one's just gone off crazy. Because the only enemy you can have is something that you do not know about, something you do not understand. And that will not be a being. That will be a mock-up. You see, now in Durban in South Africa, when people come to me for auditing, I didn't put up a notice to say I was going to audit. People had heard I was there, and gradually they came, and so the list of people that I audit is growing and growing and growing. So they may have the organized Scientology organization, which is silly of them, and they are not my enemies, and I'm just saying it's a silly thing. They've made a list of everyone I audit, and people still flock to me. So there was some day along the line, they consider there's going to be a big judgment day, when for helping people, I am going to be judged as a criminal of some sort. Some big judgment day over there. I hope for their own sakes that they become sane enough in due course to erase those mock-ups. Because I am busy erasing them all the time. It just gives me extra work. Every time they put a negative mock-up there, it's something that I have got to look at and duplicate so that it will be erased. It just gives me extra work. I'd much rather just be doing what I'm doing and auditing people. Can you see this? You know what I'm talking about here? So they made this list of people, and I said to them, please, if only you could see that every time I audit someone, I'm only using Scientology technology and Dianetic technology, every time I audit someone and some mass or confusion blows out of this area, it would all flow straight to you if you could have it. Because I'm not setting myself up as any sort of rival. So, anyway, at this particular stage, they're finding it difficult to have. So, they feel that if you do not help people within the realms of a particular structure, then you can't help people. Where you will see again, putting form over function. Now, every one of you, whether you are Dianology or something, Dak Horner hasn't said to me, I've got to be a Dianologist. He hasn't even said to me, you've got to use Dianology technology. You know, it's like I'm not standing here as a Dianologist. I'm not standing here as an authority of Dianology. Jack didn't say it. We are friends, and we always will be. And we will work towards the same purpose, whatever technology we use. you see. And the purpose to which all mankind is working along. You see, you'll start on your first steps in a lifetime, and you'll learn this, and you'll learn that, you learn to walk, you learn to do this, you learn to do something else. You can't call that Scientology. But in actual fact, it is your way to freedom. You can't call that Dianology, you can't call it anything. You know, it's about all the way along the line, if you look at all the steps that you have started taking in order to integrate freely in the physical universe and be part of it and communicate and have a happy time and fulfill purposes and whatever, they are all steps towards your integration and your freedom. Now, in the physical universe, there, at a time where you had reached total integration and sort of effortless integration of the physical universe, you know, either willing, you know, willing and knowing cause or effect in the physical universe, that you could call a totality. Because there must be some point where it is. But beyond that, it's infinite. See, because in the physical universe, there's a limited number of structures, a limited number of patterns, and eventually we'll all be able to handle the whole lot. So what, whether it's Scientology, Dianetics, Dianology, whatever, somewhere along the line, all the frills will fall away, and the basics will emerge as identical. And we'll all laugh. I'm sure we will. You know, because the basics will. But if you've got this going on there and somebody doesn't want it, you say to them, sorry, this is the only way to freedom. And you don't want that? Well, goodbye. Until you accept everything of us, you know, then you can't come here. Well, then it is necessary to have another way where somebody goes along and says, I want, yes, you just suit me. And then you, but it doesn't suit some others. And then you have another way. And these guys, and they're all going the way that suits them. But underneath, the basics are the same. And whichever one will be, will do the most good or help people to do the most good for themselves, well, we'll find out when we get there. But in the meantime, let's not sit in judgment of another person's attempt to help mankind. Never, you know, let each one help the way in which each one can best help, and let them improve their best, their ways. Because any guy who sets out to help mankind is not setting out to trap them. But I thank you very much. I wanted particularly just to get that point of circuitrizing clear. Did I make it clear?
Yes. Yes.
Because that is the thing to which the human race right now is most vulnerable.
I have a misunderstood on that circuitrizing. Can you explain that a little more?
Yeah, all right. Fine, I'll explain it. It's like this. This body is structured of atoms. Now, do you know the structure of an atom? It has a nucleus in the middle with protons and neutrons. And around the nucleus, it has orbits or shells. Now, in the nucleus, you have a certain number of neutrons, which are electrically neutral. And you have, say, 3, 4, 5, so many protons, which are the tiniest positive electrical charges. In the shells or orbits around the nucleus, you have electrons, which are the tiniest negative electrical charges. And you always have the same number of electrons in the orbits or the shells as you have protons within the nucleus. So you get this perfectly balanced little electrical field. Now this body is structured of these things. So every body is structured, every single body is structured of atoms. These are electrical, therefore a body has an electrical field. Now there are certain fundamental laws of electricity. Like you can take, if you want to connect, if you want to put a light in a lamp, you take a cord and you plug it into something, a source from which electricity is coming. So in this particular case, think of me as the source from which electricity is coming.
That's the basic question I had, is who we're talking about the source, and I was wondering, who is source to you on that?
No, it's like it's a way of controlling mankind.
Okay, who's source on it right now?
Well, this is something that you can find out for yourselves. That's why I just suggested something for you to look at. You look and see. I'm not going to tell you what I saw at this particular stage, but you look and see for yourselves. And so wherever you can, neutralize it. Because it is not necessary to keep men pinned into circuits of any sort, you see, particularly when you're offering freedom. All right.
It's still kind of vague to me.
Well, I will just have a look at it and discuss it with some of the others. Okay.
I'm in exterior right now. Let's go look at the flagship right now. Is it in that area that you're talking about?
Well, if that's where you're looking, it's all right with me.
See how easy it is? You went right to it.
Well, I mean, it seems that that's what you're implying. You know, I'm trying to be more overt about what's going on here.
Yes, but I suggest the game, but the rest of it, I would rather you discover it for yourselves. You know, I'm suggesting something that I am warning you that I have seen is the thing that man is most vulnerable to at this time.
I will agree that seems to be some vibration that does come down on the aesthetic band. If it reaches that point, it feels the suppression.
That's right.
I personally feel like Ron Hubbard right now, picking up on his space, is under that same suppression, extremely strong. He's been quite set as well, and now he's getting out of it.
Yeah.
But I've gone through it, and I'm sure you've gone through it, tremendous body pains.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I just like to indicate that I don't feel the source is coming from there.
Fine. Well, what I do when I'm handling this sort of thing is I look at it, try to get it exactly as it is, and then just flow love back along it, because only a person who is unsafe would be doing that.
Right.
It's not a matter of making guilty. It's just look at what can I do so that person wouldn't have to do that anymore, because I don't want to be the other end of an overt. As I said earlier this morning, it is worse to be sinned against than to sin.
Absolutely.
Because you hook them. The guy is doing it, trapped. Would you like to quote your little thing about the sorcerer? No, you quote it.
It's an Listen. Old book on black and white magic. It was an admonition to one who would practice sorcery. To the sorcerer beware, he who casteth the spell that worketh not, for the full force of the spell shall be cast back upon the sorcerer.
Thank you. Anyways, no, I'm not standing here, you know, with any intention of making guilty. The best thing I can do, so far as I know, is to indicate these things that I have seen. You either look at them, see for yourself, I didn't ask you to believe it, see whether this is real or not real, and see what you can do about changing it, because it's like all of us working together will achieve something. And sort of what we want overall is a sort of general unification of people by looking at the fact that we have the same basic purpose in relation to freedom.
Right.
You know, this is the basic one, because we have other sub-purposes all the way along the line, but that same basic purpose.
The reason I stood up, John, and said what I said was because if that was the indication, you know, to look to there for source, then the condition will still exist, because source actually hasn't been spotted on this circuitrizing, you should call it.
Yeah, because
your understanding, but I don't think anybody else here got that impression. I didn't.
Okay, what's this
what I thought? Well, of course, you see, that wouldn't be the original source.
Right.
The original source would be somewhere. You know, look at it. Look at it as an exciting thing, just to find out and know about, you know. Not as a means of recrimination or making any man guilty. Any man who's worked hard and subsequently become unsafe for various reasons, whatever they might be, and, say, maybe become, you know, sort of connected to something that's generating that sort of circuitizing.
All right.
See, it's not a matter of, as I said earlier, I didn't ever want to speak again until I could speak in such a way that there would be no recriminations. And the way to handle all of these things is to just generate, so far as I know, as much love as one can. Because love, as you may know or may not know, passeth all understanding.
I agree with that completely. I have one more thing to say. I'm standing here holding the viewpoint of a Scientologist, but it's pretty effortless because people are granting me the right to be one. Right?
Yeah.
Thank you. heavy ethics policies and things like that, which I don't agree with either. And by the way, there's been something out just recently by Ron in that same area to lighten up the ethics, right?
Oh, yes, I'm very happy about it. It's something that I wanted to have happen. But it did happen, you know, like it was a mistake. And there again, I wasn't saying it for recrimination. I was using it as an example to illustrate what can happen. What can happen? A technology as powerful as that can actually lose its impact if you spread eagle across the top of it, an ethics system that invalidates. You see, and you get the imbalance. You make ethics more important than the technology and its product when all the ethics is there for is to make sure that that technology is actually achieving, you know, being used to achieve its very best products.
That's absolutely true. I totally agree that just a very light amount of ethics is necessary to get a large amount of technology.
God, when you're setting guys free, do they want to hurt each other?
What was that?
I say, when you're setting guys free, do they want to hurt each other? They want to play new games. And one better be ready for the new games and not start stopping them with conditions.
Absolutely.
And so it's not... again, please, I hope that I haven't given you the impression that I want you to go around having any sort of recriminations on anyone, anywhere.
You have.
No.
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 Just the opposite.
Thank you.
And now, can we hear John McMaster speak, please?
Certainly.
Thank you. We've granted you the beingness to be a Scientologist. Grant us the right to be what we are.
I never
did.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes?
Now, may I say very briefly that there was one instance of clapping a few minutes ago that I didn't join in because I felt it was a partisanship on your side against Frank Dunn, which you never participated in. And I think I speak for all of us. I'm awful glad Frank Dunn is here, or anyone here. Am I clear, Frank?
That's cool.
Good.
Yeah, thank you very much. Right. Anyway, I wanted to tell you, along the line, these things became exciting discoveries to me as I moved along, because last year I think I told quite a few of you that my body had even become an unsafe space for me to operate through. I don't know whether you recall it.
Yes.
Well, that is what had happened. And to this extent, I was, you know, betraying after knowing. And I got to a stage where I couldn't stand up when I lectured anymore, and I had to sit down. I don't know whether some of you saw that. Well, I'm not like that anymore, as you can see, because I was committing the crime of not looking in various areas. Now, if I was doing that, then the chances are that those things were becoming more and more and more solid, which is not necessarily anybody's fault, but at least as I increased my awareness and saw these things, they lifted and lifted, and as you will see, it has changed. Not because of me alone, but because I know, and you know, what you want. See, as if what was going wrong was spotted, so it's not going wrong anymore. And always, you know, you might think I'm smug, but for me it's the loveliness of knowing it. I know that so long as I am true, I will never be without the, not support, I can't think of an exact word, I will never be without that which is required for me to survive, call it that. Because I will be getting it from every man, everywhere, so long as I am true. And that applies to everyone. That was all part of what I call my being clear. And I like defining it as free on the first dynamic, or clear on the first dynamic, or free from reactivity. None of this means anything to me in relation to what I actually knew. And I think if each one had the chance to describe for himself his own state of clear, it would be quite something. But if you are told it's got to be that, maybe you try to fit into something. I wasn't told how it was going to be. This is where I think, you know, I just had a privileged experience because nobody told me how it was going to be. Nobody tried to define it for me. I just found what I found and that was it, and I was off, and Ron decided it was clear and sent me out to the world and bomb, 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 and that was that. But for the, you know, once you start defining it, people try to fit a pattern, and that also can cause circuitrizing. You see, but you must be you, clear. And I just love people to pass through that and describe theirs. and not try to conform to a preconceived definition, because that again is putting form on top of function. Can you see all the little ways in which it can take place? Unknowingly. Anyway, I will speak again later if you'd like to hear me. Thank you very much for listening so far.